today marks the last Sunday of Advent in the church. So we spend Advent over four Sundays preparing ourselves for Christmas. So, Advent is the time we spend in preparation for Christmas and waiting for the birth of Jesus. And this year, we are attempting to spend some time in the shoes of some of the most prominent characters that we find at the birth of Jesus. And hopefully spending our Advent in their shoes will help us rediscover who Jesus really is. Now, to each of these characters that we are trying to walk a mile in the shoes, to each of these characters is something very important about the true nature of Jesus being revealed. We started off with Gabriel. Now, Gabriel brought a message to Mary that Jesus would be born and that he would be, in fact, the Son of God. So this is the truth that Gabriel revealed, that Jesus would be the Son of God, God himself. He would be fully God, fully human, 100%, 100%. He's not just going to be a good human, the best example ever. This would be the Son of God. The wise men, well, they were the first to recognize Jesus as King. And for them, this time it was actually real. They had all these tricks that they tried to predict stuff. And this time there was a star, and when they went there, there actually was something. They said, this is the King. So the wise men were the first to recognize Jesus as King. When the angel spoke to Joseph, he shared something very comforting with Joseph. In the midst of all the chaos of his previously well-planned life, a plan that didn't work out. So in this chaos, the angel told him about the coming birth of Jesus and that the son that he will raise will be known as God with us. He will be known as Emmanuel. So, Joseph's life is disrupted. It's dumped into chaos. And the message that the angel brought is, don't you worry. This boy is God with us. He's the Emmanuel. Not ever again do we need to feel that God is distant from us. In Jesus, God has come close. He came to walk amongst us. He literally came to walk in our shoes. So Jesus gets the human condition. Jesus gets the human experience. He understands fear. He understands heartache. He understands grief. He understands unfairness. Jesus was grieving for his friend Lazarus. Jesus was treated unfairly. Jesus was weeping. He was afraid before his crucifixion. Jesus understands the human experience. And he endured it all while on earth. So he is the God with us. Within every situation, he is with us. You see, our Advent journey this year is a journey of our Christology. Now, Christology is that part of theology that is concerned with the nature and the work of Jesus. And it includes things like the incarnation, the resurrection, the human and divine natures of Jesus and the relationship between them. So Christology is our reflections, our teaching, our words, our doctrine concerning Jesus. From Christos Logos, words about Jesus, our speaking, thinking about the Christ. So if we really want to do the Advent thing, if we really want to prepare for the arrival of someone important, we better know what the level of importance is of whoever is coming. Because that will inform our preparations. For example, if a king is coming for a visit to your house or a not-so-well-loved distant family member, your preparations would differ. For the king, if the king is coming for a visit, you would clean out everything. You would pull out all the stops. If the not-so-well-loved distant family member is coming, you're not going to do a thing. Because otherwise, they might just feel too welcome and then stay a bit longer. So you see, whoever is coming and the importance of whoever is coming informs our preparations, right? So in Advent, we try to understand who is coming to prepare accordingly. So we style this Christology journey as a journey in the shoes of those people who discovered these great truths about Jesus around the time of his birth. And the aim is to try and imagine ourselves finding out these things with them as we try to spend some time in their shoes, as if we were privy to those conversations at that time, as they took place. And if we are able to even imagine ourselves as these central characters themselves. So this morning we will try and do this with the shepherds. We'll try and imagine ourselves being there with them, and if we can, to imagine ourselves being one of them. So we are going to take our scripture reading from the second chapter of Luke's Gospel, verses 8 to 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." So the angel literally said in the Greek, "I evangelizomai." Do not be afraid, I evangelize you. Evangelizomai just means evangelize to my you. I evangelize you, and that will cause great joy for all people. So that's what evangelize means, bringing the good news. So in the original text, the angel said, "Don't be afraid, I evangelize you, and this will be great joy for all people." I bring this great news. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger. Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph, and the baby was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. It's a beautiful story. It's very Christmassy. It's got the baby, it's got the manger, it's got the shepherds. So help me out here. What was revealed to them? Because we've got Gabriel, Son of God. We've got the wise man, that is the king. We've got Joseph, that is the Emmanuel. What was revealed to the shepherds about Jesus? Help out. The Messiah. There he is. The Messiah, the Savior. This wasn't revealed to the others. But we need all of these puzzle pieces to inform our Christology, to inform us of who Jesus was, to get a better understanding of the fullness of God. So to them it was revealed that he is the Savior, he is the Messiah. The one that they've been waiting for so long. Christ the Lord. There's only one problem. It wouldn't really help for them to share this news with anyone, because nobody would believe them. You see, that they couldn't testify in a court of law. Shepherds were regarded as reliable witnesses. That's just how it was for shepherds. They were considered to be a bit different. And they had a very low social standing in those times. You see, shepherds had spent their time out in the wilderness, far away from towns and cities. very far away from Downton Street. They were moving their flocks to wherever they would find grazing for them. They would live in and off the veld. And they were considered to be socially awkward, which is understandable because they spend all their time in the wilderness fighting off wild animals. Imagine if you stumble upon somebody in the wilderness, you go to, say, Algonquin Park, and you stumble upon somebody living out there on his own. It would be kind of weird. So, they spent their time living in the wilderness, fighting off wild animals, eating their last enemy. So they kill the predator and then they would eat the meat. That's quite brutal. The animals had just fought off. Every now and then they would hunt a rabbit or anything else that ran past them for food. They ate insects. Whatever they could lay their hands on, they ate. And they didn't have the best grooming habits. I mean, not seeing other people, except for other shepherds since the flock was large enough. So I guess they were dirty and slain as well. But they were Jews, for they lived in the land exclusively for Jews. But they weren't keeping all the cleansing rituals, all the laws of the holiness code. I mean, how could they? They weren't anywhere near close to the temple. They couldn't stay away from blood for a week, as it was prescribed. You can have to do with blood if it was the animal for sacrifice, otherwise you should stay away from blood. They couldn't, because they were constantly killing something to eat. They couldn't attend worship regularly, because what about their flock? And they have to spend days in the journey toward the temple. There you go. But what about their flock? What would happen to their sheep? They would come back and they'd be like that. So they were very far from cities and towns as a rule. The rabbis who wrote the Talmud, which is a Jewish commentary on the Old Testament scriptures, containing the oral traditions from before, during, and after Jesus' time, they often regarded the shepherds as dishonest and prone to violence, and prone to violating Jewish law. It's written in the Talmud that you should be on the lookout for these shepherd types. And likewise, Philo, who was a Jewish sage in Egypt and a contemporary of Jesus, he wrote that the shepherds are held to be mean and inglorious. But we have to cut them some slack, because after all, they were wilderness people. They didn't get out much. Or maybe we should rather say they didn't get in much into society. But they were wilderness people. And nonetheless, because of their social standing, they couldn't testify in the court of law. They were not regarded as reliable witnesses. And the stigma was that these people were prone to lie. Now, the shepherds of Luke's gospel may have been held in higher regard than the other shepherds, but still they were shepherds and socially awkward. Why do I say the shepherds in Luke may have been held in higher regard? You see, most shepherds were far away in the vast wilderness, far from the towns and the cities, but that might present a problem if you want to get a lamb to take to sacrifice at the temple. So in the Mishnah, the oral traditions governing the Jewish people during the period of the Pharisees, it was written that it is, quote, expressly forbidden to keep flocks throughout the land of Israel, except for in the wilderness. That's written in the Bava Kama chapter of the Mishnah. So it wasn't allowed, according to Jewish law, to have the flocks of sheep close to any rural or urban area, to towns and cities and stuff. They had to be in the vast wilderness. But if you have to find a lamb for sacrifice, that would just be too far to go. It will be days of traveling to just get a lamb. So, like all Jewish laws, there was an exception to this rule. So the quote continues, "And the only flock otherwise kept would be those for temple services." So, if there was an allowance to have some flocks of sheep close to the cities or towns to take the sacrifice, and Jerusalem and Bethlehem and their surrounding fields were not in the wilderness where ordinary flocks of sheep were kept. Therefore, according to Jewish regulations, the flocks under the care of shepherds near Bethlehem must have been for temple service. Bethlehem and Jerusalem weren't far apart, less than 9 kilometers. So those sheep, if you would find any sheep and shepherds close to Jerusalem or Bethlehem, they would be designated for temple service. And the shepherds that watched over these sheep destined as sacrifices in the temple at Jerusalem would have seen more interaction, especially with good practicing Jews, because these were the people that would approach them to buy the land from them. So they may have been held in higher regard, but still they were shepherds. They were socially awkward. So this is the people, the first people, who were told that Jesus had been born. They were the first receivers of the good news. I don't know if that was the best choice, but they were the first receivers of the good news that it has happened. Now imagine you were one of them, one of these shepherds, out looking after your sheep in the midst of a Mediterranean winter's night. And the long-awaited Messiah, the Savior, has been born. This is what the angel is saying. So you've got to be kidding, right? I mean, we've been waiting for so many years for this. Can this be real? We've waited so long. The prophet Isaiah already said that this would happen. It's been so long ago. We've been waiting so long. We thought it would never happen, or at least not in our lifetime. Let alone tonight. Can this be real? Oh, more angels. With the voices and the light. I guess it is real then. And in the Greek translation it says, at once they came having hurried. That's how we translate it. At once they came having hurried. There was no thinking and deliberating about it. They just went. Maybe there was some, just a glance between the shepherds, a glance between some of them. Maybe there was some eye contact. Maybe someone even said, "Guys, the Messiah." And off they went. But there wasn't any deliberations or planning. At once they came and had hurried. They didn't worry about their flock being stolen or attacked. They just made a beeline for the manger. After all, if this is true, the message that they just received, if this is true, they will be out of business selling sacrificial lambs soon. Because that is what the prophet said, that the Messiah would be the last and final worthy sacrifice. So they would be out of business selling these lambs for temple sacrifice anyway. They didn't mind it. They just said, at once, the game had been hurried. And then they found him there, the Messiah, the Savior, the Christ, just as they were told. But it wouldn't really help for them to share this news with anybody. Because nobody would believe them. Nobody would believe them. They're just shepherds. They cannot bring testimony in court. They're unreliable. But it was the Messiah. This baby is the Savior. So what is a good shepherd to do? Not being regarded as reliable witnesses and all that. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. So they decided to risk it in any way. They will put themselves out there and share the good news. They will tell everyone that the Savior is born. It's the break of a whole new dawn. They could be reconciled with God. So they will venture into the towns and the cities. Maybe a very uncomfortable place for them to be in, because they are so socially awkward. But they will do it. And even though nobody would believe them, even though people may make fun of them, they cannot do anything else but speak about the message that they received from God. They cannot do anything else but speak about the baby they have seen, the Savior, the Christ. Even if people will ridicule them, even if people will tell them off for being untrustworthy, they have to share this. They cannot keep this to themselves. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said. People believed them. Imagine their feeling. People believe us. Nobody ever believes us. People believe them. So is it not time for us to put ourselves out there as well? To risk ourselves being laughed at for believing that Jesus is the Savior? Is it not time to be more like the shepherds? And even though we anticipate people to respond with laughter and disbelief, to share with them the good news. The shepherds knew people considered them to be unreliable with their stories. But they didn't do that. It did not deter them one bit. They anticipated that people will not believe, yet they still did. They still told them. And their people actually believed. Do we sometimes anticipate people will not believe the good news about them? And because of that anticipation, we just don't share the good news. Oh man, how wrong the shepherds were in their assumptions. How wrong we are sometimes in our assumptions. That people won't believe it, so we might as well just not say anything. They didn't care that if people would believe them or not believe them. They just couldn't keep it for themselves. Regardless of the assumptions they held about people believing. Should we not put our assumptions and anticipations aside and share the good news about Jesus, about who He is and what He came to do? Should we not share that regardless of whether we think people will believe it or not? Because it's not on us to make people believe. That's on God and His Holy Spirit. But it's on us to share the good news. Scripture says, how can somebody believe if they've never heard? That is on us. To make people believe, that's not on us. We don't even need to worry about it. But for us is to share this good news about Jesus. So will we take a page from the book of the shepherds? Will we spend longer time walking in these shoes and share this news, regardless of whether we think people will believe it or not? That's something we need to figure out for ourselves. So let's close our eyes and pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much that we can believe that you are in fact the Savior, the Christ, the Messiah. That you are the one that reconciles us with God. That you brought for each one of us a whole new life. Thank you for the gift to be. Thank you for your Holy Spirit inside of each one of us, telling us that this is the truth. He is the Son of God. But help us to not be afraid of telling somebody about this, sharing the good news. Help us to not be afraid of being laughed at, of being making fun of. Help us to not care about that. Help us to only care about the good news. Not sharing the good news. If that is what you ask of each one of us. Because it's
us into being more like His people. So just let everything be fairness for us. Especially in this time, the Christmas time, when people are so ready to receive this. We've got an end into conversation to speak about this. But we don't want to spoil the dinner or the party. We're starting to speak about Jesus. This time, Lord, we also want to pray for people that's in hospital. And pray that you'd be with them and that you would make them aware of your presence. There's also people this year that's ill and not in hospital and struggling with their health. Minister to them to your presence. Let them know that you're with them. Let them see that you are the Emmanuel, the God with us. You are the God that intimately know what it feels like to be afraid, to grieve, to hurt. It feels so old. It's beautiful. To help them grow. It's because of your birth that we know that in this world, this broken world, in the end, everything is fixed. And you get to heaven into your presence. There's no more tears, there's no more hurt, there's no more pain. Everything is just perfect. There will be peace at the birth of Christmas Day. So bless us as we go into Christmas Day and Christmas.